I don't know. I guess welcome everyone to the inaugural podcast. I guess the goal here is where we're going to be talking about movies, what going to the movies means to us, and hopefully what it means to the listener, and what it also means as an exhibitor to bring that experience to an audience. So I guess we can start with introductions. Brandon, if you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about your background and who you are.
Sure. My name is Brandon Jones, and Scott, thanks so much. I currently am the president of Film Frog Marketing, which is an agency dedicated to the exhibition space. I've been in the movie business since 2000, which suddenly feels like a long time, and done everything from running movie theaters to marketing movies, been involved in the film festival world. I have produced films all around. I love the movie world. I love the movie business, and I truly love exhibition and what it is like to go to the movies. And I've had my family has been in this business since the 50s. So I feel like there's some legacy to uphold along the way.
Well, thank you very much. And we'll just go right down the line here. So Danielle, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am an entertainment journalist, and I actually used to work for an exhibitor. So I am really familiar with the exhibition space and have a deeply rooted love for actually going to the movies, which is why I'm really excited to be here. But what I do is I basically go around and I interview directors and actors when new films come out and talk about the magic of the movies and of the making of the movies.
Well, welcome aboard. And then next on the line, Melissa, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everyone. I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast so far. My name is Melissa Boudreaux, and most recently, I was a CMO for Imagine Entertainment, which was Midwest theater chain with 21 locations. But really, my journey in the movie business started very young in high school. I worked for a small AMC theater that I could walk to from my house. And my love for movies has existed since even before then. But that's really when I stepped into the exhibition space. And I always said that was my favorite job. And so to have the opportunity to come back to it years later in my career and have, you know, an elevated marketing position was really a dream. So I also, like Danielle, love going to the movies. I agree that's where film should be seen. And I love the shared experience of it. So I'm really grateful to be here to be able to chat with you guys about that.
Awesome. Thank you, Melissa. And last but not least, we have James. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm James Faust. I'm the artistic director for the Dallas International Film Festival. I've been in film festivals for 20 years, but I've been in the film business since around 1995. I've had the pleasure of working in pretty much every department you can and in every side of this business. I started out as an electrician and a grip on Walker Texas Ranger here in Dallas, Texas in the mid-90s, worked in commercials and moved on to producing short films and music videos and got into film festivals, like I said, 20 years ago. And I even had the grand pleasure of working with Danielle and Brandon on the exhibition side, and I got out as fast as I could. I love film. Yes, it was. I've been involved in film and I love it. I was actually having a conversation about this recently, and for me, film is church. Movie theaters are church. That is where I go, and every single movie is a different religion most of the time, or every genre. So I love the experience. I love my online, but I love going into theaters. It is where I can relax and be not me and me at the same time.
All right. And then I guess I should tell a little bit about myself. My name is Scott Wolfeil. I'm the former creative director for Imagine Entertainment. I guess my story is actually quite similar to Melissa's because we've actually known each other for quite a while. And I'm really getting excited to get to know like everyone else here because this is still kind of like a new dynamic group. My personal introduction into the movie world was really early on as a kid, I've just always been just a huge fan of movies. I got into the exhibitor world probably when I was around 16 or 17 at like my own hometown theater. Like I was scooping popcorn, sweeping the floors, and then eventually like I was even a projectionist back when, you know, films were still coming on 35 millimeter reels. So definitely a way different process now. That actually got me so inspired to like just get into the industry or the business somehow or some way that I actually went to film school in Detroit. That was, you know, a really fun, like cool process. It got me to work on some, you know, really cool projects, like some music videos here and there. And then most recently I was the creative director for Imagine Entertainment, which was, I don't know, kind of like the next step into, you know, the much wider world of the movie industry.
Hey, I want to go back to something and kind of maybe go down this thread a little bit. Melissa, you said it, and then Scott, you reflected on it a little bit, was the first job being in the movie theater. And I think that that resonates with a lot of people, that movie theaters are like a starting ground or a first job. You know, you turn 16, 17, whatever, and you go get a job at your local movie theater. And how many people have had that experience? And with everything going on, it feels like that is a little bit in jeopardy now, that this entry point that so many people have had and have gone on to do so many other things, but a lot of people's first jobs are at the movie theater.
Mm-hmm. And very it's true. Just such a fun place where you build community. I mean, you're with like-minded people, you stay and watch movies at midnight, you know, before they come out, and it's such a great experience for someone at that age too. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how COVID reshapes that.
Yeah, and it's interesting. There's almost like this little movie theater first job subculture because, and Scott, you referenced, and it's like people talk about scooping popcorns, and actually when you build films or even now the movies come out and you have just a little window. I mean, it may be hours before the movie gets released and has its first show times, but you saw it in a movie theater first. Mm-hmm. And that is, for whatever reason, that always was like the coolest experience.
Oh yeah. You know? Like I think it was really easy for people of a young age to almost establish that like working at the movie theater wasn't just a job. It was like the job.
Right.
Because there was so much culture surrounded it. Because I think when you look at other first jobs working, you know, in restaurants, kitchens or something like that, like there's not the same invigoration of this is something that while I may not be passionate about this movie or that movie, this one is for me. And so like I remember certain employees being so excited about, you know, the release of a certain film. And yeah, it's really, it's interesting to have something that everyone can kind of rally around, even though they all vary.
And there's this, every week there's this new anticipation because there's another release coming out and you get to sit in an auditorium with basically a dozen of your friends in the largest format in the building at midnight or whatever, watching your own private screening of the movie that's coming out. So even if it wasn't a movie you loved, you just had this chance to do it. And then a major tentpole release comes out and you're like, this is the thing. And mm-hmm.
I think
it's fascinating that this first job opportunity in theaters has hit so many people.
I actually have a really interesting and fun memory to share about that. So I worked in the theater when the first Independence Day came out. And it was, of course, the biggest tentpole of the summer. And we all stayed to watch it at midnight. Who knew that it was like a 2.5, almost, oh, I think it was a 3-hour movie.
Roland Emmerich's not making a short movie.
Yeah. So we're there until like 4 a.m. when we have to be back at like 8 a.m. for literally the busiest weekend in history of that year. And I was like, I can't believe, I mean, it was the best experience to stay and watch it. But we didn't get home till 4 a.m. and we had to be back 4 hours later. But what an awesome experience to work that film.
We talk about like your first job being in a theater, but also a lot of your first time independence, like as a parent, your parents felt comfortable dropping you off and going to see a movie, just you and your friends. Well, and you had like this time duration. I mean, you literally went and sat in a room with other people and watched a movie, and then your parents knew I would pick you up. I have a picture of my son going to see a movie by himself for the first time. And it's like, that's a moment for a lot of people. It's like, so first jobs, first kind of breath of independence, out on your own, like that's where you go, right? So I think those are some of the magical things that kind of bring us all and tie us all together in this space, and why we're so passionate about it is we've had those moments and we want to share those and continue those. So
yes, the great safety in the movie theaters. You're right. My parents, I remember they went to go see Stir Crazy and they sent me to see Pete's Dragon. And they were in the theater next door and they go see this movie. And I snuck out of Pete's Dragon halfway through to go see Flash Gordon. So it was, it's yeah, there's a, but there was a safety. They're like, oh, just go sit in the theater. We'll come get you or meet us in the lobby by the popcorn machine afterwards. I mean, again, this is 30 years ago, 40 years ago, but still, there's still a bit of safety when your people, kids go to the theater. I see it. You've seen it where they go, we're going to be in this one. You go over here. I don't know. There's just a sort of a reality to the whole thing.
Clearly we're all, you know, very passionate about the exact same thing. But it's the, I don't know, the granular parts that are different for each and every one of us. I think that's what it also kind of means is like, everyone has like these very highly distinguishable memories of what the movies means to them, what movie it was. It doesn't even really matter because everyone is, I don't know, sharing that same remnant of, I was there at this time, at this place, which, I don't know, those are like milestones. I think everyone kind of gathers those up. I think that's what makes it so impactful, especially at a younger age. I think that's also maybe why it feels so cool to work at a movie theater when you're 16, 17 years old, because you almost feel like it, to a certain extent, you're like, I don't know, not a curator of the culture that is being shown, but yeah, you're like a cheerleader. Like you're helping present these things to the world to a certain extent. So who wants to give me a quick brief update on what's going on with Mulan right now? Anybody? Any takers?
So, well, I can at least tell you what happened with Mulan, and you know, people are listening to this, you're probably listening or watching later and you already know all of this news, but actually just 2 days ago, Mulan is now going to be released on Disney Plus. And there is a lot of talk all over the industry right now about that. And yeah, what is it, $30?
$29.
$29.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, you have to have a subscription to Disney Plus, which is going to cost you at least another $6.99 or whatever that price is. So
or $70 annually, I believe.
Yeah. So add that on top of the $30 to get that movie, but
and I mean, 60.5 million subscribers
in 8 months.
It's massive. I mean, I was an early adopter. I'm buying it. I was telling somebody the other day, I was mad that it's not getting a United States theatrical, which I thought I read that they were trying, if somebody's open in the States, they were going to try to get it theatrically out there, which would be great because I really, this movie needed to come out. I mean, I hate to put it in these terms, but for me, it was sort of an Asian Black Panther that could be that next thing, a representative movie that's not, not distasteful, not condescending. It's just a good, great story with great positive characters all the way through. They're positive Asian characters. No one's a sidekick. No one's, it's just a story. And it's going to Disney Plus, which it may reach more people, but I really, really wanted that to be on a screen somewhere. And for that social experience where people leave the theater and have the discussion afterwards or even during, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I was also looking forward to the fight scenes and being immersed in that on the big screen because, yeah. I mean, they were not cutting corners with this. They trained for months to shoot these scenes. These are epic battle scenes. And to watch them on a little TV screen or even a 50-plus inch TV screen in your own home, to me, it just doesn't seem to do it justice. I want to feel like I'm sitting on a horse in the very middle of the battle and all of this stuff is going on around me. To me, like that's why you make a movie that has that epic nature to it. Like just sitting in a living room doesn't seem to quite grab me.
Well, we don't get that
Melissa
same.
Melissa and I had a chance to see it in a theater back in March when we went on a visit and a workshop with Disney as part of their Disney Digital Summit, which was, I mean, it is first class over there all the way. They take great care of you, and we had the chance. And at the time, the producer, one of the producers of the movie, came in and did the intro for us, and he actually said this movie is made for the big screen. You know, it is made to have these epic fight scenes and tell this story of James, as you said, you know, this representative story that brings empowerment, female empowerment, and quite frankly, I think it needs the audience, the female and the Asian audience, to grab onto it and make it a huge success. So where I think from an economic standpoint, it makes all kinds of sense for Disney from a pure fan standpoint. As we've been in quarantine watching movies at home, and we just watched Greyhound the other day, and I think the same thing is going to translate with Mulan. As I'm sitting there watching it, I kept thinking, wow, this would be a great movie in a movie theater, and it's just a movie at home.
But the reason why I think it works is because we're in quarantine, and a normal like release window, if theaters were open, I don't think it would be as successful. We don't know what the numbers are, but if we're looking at Trolls, I don't think Trolls would have been as successful. People don't want to pay $20 to sit at home. You know, I believe firmly that people want to go to a theater and they would much rather see it on a big screen. And the only reason why it will be successful is because we're in quarantine.
Yeah.
So,
again, I think if there was a chance that it could go to theaters in a shorter period of time, I think we would have seen it in the theaters and it would have been a different experience. I have no doubt that Disney, no matter what the numbers are, it's going to feel big with the number of subscribers and renters. But that doesn't tell me the story about how good the movie is when you see it in a theater versus when you see it at home. And that's where I think we get a miss.
Isn't it going to be released forget domestic. So isn't it going to get a foreign release? Like, I mean, China is open, right? These are Asian markets that are going to probably devour this. I mean, it can make $1 billion overseas.
I think the estimate was 900 million is what they anticipate total. So
it is getting the international release.
There's still some places overseas that it's not going to be opening in theater. It's strictly going to be streaming. Like, I think the UK at this point is still strictly streaming. It's just certain markets at the moment.
The film is really good. Brandon and I saw it, and it's part of that shared experience of walking out too. And we were all talking after the film and how great it was. And we shared that. We shared that experience together, and I feel grateful that we were able to see it in a theater, and I'm really bummed that other people aren't going to have that opportunity. I also did read, though, that Disney was looking at the calendar and saying, like, when are we going to release this, even if and when all theaters open? The calendar is hopefully still stacked for the rest of Q4.
Mm-hmm. You know, this movie goes along the lines of this. You know, Disney has been the princess studio, and this movie takes you again that Mulan is not a princess. She is a warrior. And I think that narrative that's coming out of Disney leading that charge, that it's really cool. The fight scenes are great. I mean, you can tell these actors and filmmakers put a ton of effort into the choreography and the training, and it's real, and it's well done. And I think that speaks a lot to kind of this narrative around the portrayal of females not being the damsel in distress, but they're leading the way in the characters. Now, can I transition this to Tenet? Is that they're coming out at the same time now. So you've got Disney Plus and Mulan, which have been kind of in this week apart, rolling since quarantine started. Mulan's original release was March 30th, I believe, and Tenet was mid-July, and then as they started getting pushed back, they've been kind of Tenet first, then Mulan, Tenet first, then Mulan, and now they wind up on the same weekend, one in Tenet being a hybrid model, limited limited in some places, and then you have Mulan on the same weekend going streaming. Very different audiences, but at the same time, now you've got, again, two epic events in the movie world happening at the same time.
One's cheaper than the other, though.
Right, and one experience.
I mean, one requires you to go out, and one lets you stay in. Yeah, so sure. How's that going to translate?
It's going to be really interesting to weigh in on all of this after it goes live.
Yeah.
I want to see them both in theaters. Like, if one of them starts playing near me, I'm there.
You know what? Private rental, Danielle. Right? Take your Disney Plus membership. You find a local theater and just private rental and get Mulan going.
It's not a bad idea.
See? Mm-hmm.
Maybe Tenet is a private rental too. I mean, you can get a movie theater for $100 and
Invite some of your friends. Yeah. I mean, Scott and I will come down to Texas.
Yeah, actually, the last movie I saw in the theater before the lockdown and everything happened was a private rental, and Melissa was there.
What was it?
I had started setting up these screenings for all the employees of the theater we were working at. To come and just basically, like, it was gonna be like a secret movie night kind of a thing. So no one knew what the movie was gonna be. It was just gonna be something that I picked because people know that I'm so passionate about movies and I just wanna show people things all the time. So this was just an excuse for us to all congregate and be presented something that they didn't know what it was, something that they may have never seen or even may not have even heard of. So the very first one we had done, I showed one of my favorite films of all time, which was Raising Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Good one.
Best. Oh, God, I love that movie. Oh, my God, I love that film.
And there were people there that, you know, we had all worked with for years who had either never seen it or never even heard of it.
Yeah, so it was movie business. People that work in the movie business.
So it was great going into an experience like that with people like me who have loved that movie forever.
That may be on my rewatch list this week then.
Yeah. And then being able to show that to somebody without really giving them a reference of what it was that they're about to experience, because I think people can be so picky and choosy with the content that they digest these days because the amount of options is just endless. But again, I think people can be apprehensive about watching a movie because of one very specific, you know, thing that doesn't measure up to their standards. Like, oh, I don't like this actor. I don't like this director. I'm not a big musical fan. I don't like this or that. So they can choose to not experience something because of one minor detail that they don't find as palatable. So it's really kind of a fun thing to kind of show an audience something that they have no idea what they're walking into. Maybe it's something they've seen before, maybe it's something they've heard about, or maybe it's something they never would have even considered taking in because of something that wasn't, you know, palatable about the trailer or the poster or something they heard about it.
You know, okay, Scott, let's do this. Let's
wait. Scott said something really interesting. Hold on, Brandon. Scott said something really, really interesting that I think we need to touch on. When you're at home, there's so much content all over. I don't know about you guys, but like sometimes I spend an hour just searching for something to watch. And this is what I love about the movie theater is that I have 10 options or 6 options. I'm not sitting there trying to figure out what I want to watch. And I think something that we can really provide value for everyone who's listening is we should be giving you some tips. So Raising Arizona is definitely something maybe you should check out. But I just struggle with overwhelming volumes of content. Anyone else?
Yeah.
So here's what I think we should do. As we get comments for this episode, we will pick one of the comments and we will send them a DVD of Raising Arizona. If you haven't seen it, comment in our feed, and then we'll pick one of them and we'll pick one of you guys and we'll ship you a copy of Raising Arizona. That'd be a lot of fun.
And don't forget to give us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts while you're at it.
This is all going to... Okay, so last movie you saw in a movie theater pre-lockdown.
Yeah. I'm terrified because I don't remember the last movie I sat in front of, like, we had a mini film festival, Best of Fest, where all these festivals in Dallas-Fort Worth area got together. And I was walking from screen to screen and seeing bits and pieces of a lot of different things that I'd already seen because it was the Best of Fest. I don't remember. Oh my God, I think the last time
that's interesting because you, like, during the festival stuff, you don't necessarily sit and watch a movie in the auditorium, and you go and you screen tons of movies. So yeah. When was the last movie you went to a theater on your own? I know you see a lot of other movies too, but
not cutting a film festival.
You just went to the theater and said, either you and Jen or you on your own or whatever, and just said, I'm going to a movie and here's what I saw in the theater.
It may have been December of 2019. What was out in December? Holy crap.
Was there a Star Wars?
I think the last movie I saw in a theater that wasn't a film festival, Sundance was in January, so I saw like 25 films there. But last that I went out and actually paid for something, holy crap, it was probably going to see Star Wars.
Where did you see it?
I'm trying to think, where did I see it?
I'm gonna guess you saw it at Alamo.
No, I think I saw it, Jen and I saw it together. I think we went to Cinemark. Nope, scratch. It was Alamo. It was Alamo Lake Highlands. Yeah, because it's near the house. And we went there and I remember thinking, God, that's over. I don't know what to do now. I'm not going to watch this. It's over.
We saw it at Cinopolis. We saw Star Wars at Cinopolis.
Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the last movie that we saw. We were like the holdouts. We went.
Wait, should we explain that you and Brandon may watch movies together more often than the rest of us?
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier. I kept saying it earlier. I'm thinking, I'm not sure everybody gets this. Like, what?
Let's address the elephant in the room.
No, yeah. We should just try to let viewers or listeners just try to figure out if there's a relationship happening between Brandon and Danielle. Like, are they together? If not, like, they really should be. Like, they got a really great dynamic.
It's Ross and Rachel.
I'd take Rachel any day. Sure thing.
We are together, and we do watch movies together all the time. We like held out. We went the very last weekend that theaters were open. We were at a movie theater.
What did you guys see? I don't remember.
The Hunt. We saw The Hunt, and it was at Cinemark, our good friends at Cinemark, and it's right around the corner from our house, and we were like, we're going, we bought popcorn, and it was kind of depressing. There was only four other people in the auditorium, and it was literally March 14th. I can remember the date. And then you show up literally Monday morning, and it's like, nope, shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Melissa, what about you? What was the last?
It must have been Mulan when we were in. Yeah, because
that's kind of cheating, though. When was the last time you went and paid for? Not even paid.
Paid. I was like,
went to the theater.
Melissa still sneaks into movies.
Yeah, I still sneak in. Her parents are still dropping her off. Yes, they are. No, I went to a drive-in. This should count. A couple weeks ago, and saw Jurassic Park. Which was actually a really cool experience.
It was before lockdown.
Yeah, pre-lockdown
It had been a while. It probably was something at Show East. I mean, Raising Arizona, but I didn't pay. So, I mean,
that's different. Like,
look, when you work an exhibition, you don't go to the movies as much. I know people probably think like every weekend is at the movies, but you're working there all the time that it's hard to go there for your escape. So I didn't see as many movies. Now I'm just can't wait to go see movies. So
here's my exhibition. This is how you watch a movie when you're in exhibition. Like, so if you work at a movie theater or movie theater company, you're in movie theaters a lot.
Yes.
And so I used to say that I saw a movie in 20-minute increments, not chronological. So every movie was Pulp Fiction to me. So I would go see movies and I'd be like, okay, I've seen, based on the start time, okay, I've seen 40 minutes of this movie, but here's the 40 minutes I've seen. And then I would go catch 20 minutes of it to start piecing it together. I swear, for about 10 years, I thought every movie was shot Tarantino style.
I mean, I really have to think about what I paid for. It must have been in early 2019.
I think
working in press, on like the press side of things, I actually get to see just about everything, because you have to watch it before you can do any interviews for it. Yeah. So it's like my me time. It's technically work, but I'm like, this is my time where I just go sit in a movie theater. Nothing else exists, and I just get to watch a movie. And I'm lucky enough that I'm like, well, I have to. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the perks about being a projectionist. Back in the day when you actually had to thread film, was anytime you would do a press screening, we had to run it to make sure it was built properly. Because it's not just a digital file that you just, you know, unlock the code and press play and it plays the film. You had to make sure that the reels were built properly. So we had a policy that anything that we showed, even if it was, you know, a month early advance screening for the press, we still had to run it to make sure it was built properly. So I got to see everything even before press got to see it, which was always a fun thing. But I think the last thing that I saw in the theater that I actually paid to go see, that wasn't like a thing that I'd set up, was Parasite. I saw it at
I saw it too.
Don't just leech onto my answer.
I saw that. I also saw Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood for a charity event, and I paid for that. Everybody clapped at the end, and I almost cried, because that is exactly why I go to the movies, because it was an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yep, yes, love them both. Okay, we are kind of coming up against it here in episode one. So we have lots to talk about. And we would love for you guys to join us on this journey as we get excited to come back to the movie theaters. And we have a reason why we think movies should be seen there. And I think you're going to hear that throughout this story. So Scott, if you want to, anything else you want to add or questions or?
I mean, not necessarily. I think we kind of covered most of our bases here on what our ultimate goal here is, why we're all getting together and talking about this, because we haven't had the movie going experience in months. And like, we're all really kind of having some withdrawals from it. So I think if anything, this is almost more like a support group than a podcast.
Yeah, so please give comments. I mean, we want to hear about why going to the movies is important to you, and if you're out there and share some great experiences, please join into this conversation.
Yeah, but what do you want to hear from us? Give us feedback. What do you want to hear? What do you want to know? What can we do
to make your day better? We also just want to hear great stories about what a very specific, you know, movie going experience meant to you, because I have so many. Like, and it's funny, like, I didn't even really think about it that much until we started really sitting down to kind of go over what we wanted this podcast to really be about. And I think as I was kind of cataloging and going through all of the inventory in my head of all of the experiences I've had, like, I have so many different stories I want to tell now. And I hope everybody else here kind of feels the same way, because I think it's easy to forget after you're outside of the movie theater what it's like to be in it and ingrained and just submersed in that in that moment and in another world, another place, another time. It's really, really special. And I think it's something that, it's an interaction I think most of us are probably kind of really feeling the absence of right now. So I guess that's kind of the goal here, is why don't we just all just kind of talk about it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing, everyone.
All right. Thank you. And until next time, everyone take care, and we'll talk soon.